So I give the floor to Katrina for an update.
Thank you, and good afternoon. So what I'd like to do today is provide you with an update on the status of the leases project. So what decisions have already been made and what remains for discussion. And because we are close to completing redeliberations, I thought it might be helpful to mention some of the most important decisions that have already been reached during redeliberations, linking back to some of the advice that you have given us and which is included in an appendix to the agenda paper for this meeting. And in particular, I'm going to mention the definition of a lease, which was, of course, the main topic for discussion at both the September ASAF meeting and also the October Joint Board meeting. So what I plan to do is spend about 10 minutes providing that update, and then I'm going to hand over to you for questions or comments and advice on the project. So first of all, if I start with status. As I said, redeliberations are substantially complete. The most significant topics that remain for discussion are lessee disclosures and transition. And the ISB will also rediscuss the small asset lease exemption. And we plan to discuss these at the January board meeting. We'll also bring back a narrow follow-up paper on the definition of a lease in December. And I'll come back to that later in this update. So in terms of redeliberations, just a bit of background, which is, of course, that a consistent message that we heard in response to the 2013 ED was continuing concerns about cost and complexity. So the redeliberations really have been very much focused on trying to identify where the proposals could be changed to potentially, you know, reduce costs significantly, but of course, importantly, without significantly reducing the overall benefit that we think is derived from the proposed change to lease accounting. You know, so really focused on trying to get that balance of cost versus benefit in the right place. So what are some of the most important decisions that have been made? First of all, and very importantly, to continue to propose that leases are recognised on a lessee's balance sheet with some exemptions. And we had strong support from this, of course, not only from ASAF, but also from the investor community. And we continue to receive that investor support, including more recently in the investor feedback that was received as part of the additional consultation that some of you did for us in Europe, as well as in a recent letter that was sent to the FASB by its investor advisory committee. Secondly, to propose a single lessee model for all leases that are recognised on the balance sheet, which reduces complexity. Third, to simplify measurements, so that essentially most variable and optional lease payments are excluded from the measurement of lease assets and liabilities. And also the boards have simplified the reassessment requirements, which lines up with some advice that you gave to us. Fourth is to simplify the separation of lease and non-lease components, and essentially doing that by allowing lessees to estimate when they're allocating payments between the different components in the contract. Fifth is to try to consider various ways to reduce costs, I suppose in particular where there might be high volumes of low-value leases. So, for example, considering exemptions for both short-term leases, which the boards have actually expanded, and also for small asset leases. And in addition, the boards have decided to explicitly say that a lessee could apply the proposals at a portfolio level for similar contracts, as the boards have done in the revenue standard. I suppose sixth is, of course, in essence, to leave existing lessor accounting unchanged. And again, this lines up with the advice that most of you gave us earlier in the year. So finally, and very importantly, of course, is the definition of a lease. And so the feedback that we got in the 2013 ED on the definition generally agreed with the approach that we proposed. So building on the concept of control, however, the feedback did request clarifications. So it's basically clarifications that we have been working on during REIT deliberations. And the board's made some substantive decisions on the definition in October. Now, at the ASAF meeting in the September, of course, there were two possible ways of amending the definition that were discussed. The first was to define a lease as a financing arrangement, and the second was to align the unbundling guidance in IFRS 15 with our guidance on the definition of a lease. And so both of these suggestions were included in the board paper that the boards discussed in October. And so what I thought now is I'll just provide a bit more information about the board's discussion and decisions reached. So I suppose if I start with the principle, the boards have decided to use control as the distinguishing factor when working out whether a contract contains a lease or is a contract for services. So if a customer controls the use of an asset for a period of time, then we think the customer has the right to use that asset and should recognise that right on its balance sheet. In contrast, if a supplier controls the use of an asset, then it's a service contract. Because, of course, almost all services require the use of assets, so if the supplier is using assets and controlling them and delivering services, there isn't a lease. Now, because the outcome of deciding that a contract contains a lease is the recognition of an asset, and typically, of course, not always a liability, then we think control is the right basis to use for that sort of on balance sheet distinguishing feature. And also we think it makes sense to align that concept of control more closely with the definition of control in more recent standards like IFRS 10 and IFRS 15. So by using control, the boards effectively did not agree with defining a lease as a financing arrangement. So financing flows from obtaining an asset that you then may pay for over time, but it doesn't define a lease. And as I said, feedback on the ED largely agreed with this. So in general, respondents supported using control, and they supported the direction of the change to the definition of a lease compared to IFRIC 4. But respondents did request more clarity about how to actually apply the definition guidance. And in October, the board agreed to various clarifications that we think will make the guidance easier to apply. So in summary, the definition is really saying that if a customer has exclusive use of an asset for a period of time and has the right to decide how to use that asset, then it has a lease and it should recognise it on its balance sheet. So if I move on to aligning the unbundling guidance in IFRS 15, we don't actually disagree in concept with this. And in fact, we think that applying our proposed definition of a lease will result in very similar outcomes. But we as staff didn't actually recommend that to the boards because, first of all, as noted, we didn't think it would result in very different outcomes. And secondly, because the guidance was developed for a very different purpose in IFRS 15 and really is untested in the context of a lease. So in our view, it would add more complexity to the standard and would not work as well as the guidance on control that we've actually exposed and now refined sort of based on the feedback that we received. So as I mentioned, there is one narrow piece of follow-up on the definition from the October meeting that we plan to bring back to the boards in December. What that narrow piece is to determine whether we think the definition of a lease should include guidance that the customer must have the ability to derive benefits from the right of use on its own or together with other services that might be sold separately. So with that, I'm going to hand over to you, and I'm happy to take any particular questions you might have or otherwise just to hear your comments and views on the project.
Councillor Hanson.
2 points to make, if I'm allowed to do so. First of all, thank you for following up, giving this update, and explaining how the work has been developing since we discussed this staff paper in our last meeting. But it was a fact that there was around this table quite a lot of welcoming comments, let me put it that way, around the idea that the guidance in IFRS 15 could have an extended use to the lease standard. The arguments which are put forward, the papers, the recommendation, it would not necessarily make a lot of difference. There would be possible unintended consequences. It was meant in a different context. They seem, to me at least, more dismissive than really convincing. And I think it's a pity that if this group is to actively contribute in the making of the standards, that it is possible to just dismiss things so easily. And maybe there is evidence behind the papers, but at least it has not been made available so that we would have had the opportunity to reach the same conclusions as you did. So that's on the definition of a lease, so I mean, that's where we are. I think also it's because we have lease on the agenda, it is my duty to share with everybody that the deliberation that the EFRAG board has had in its first meeting. I mean, it was important that the EFRAG board convening for the first time would consider the position EFRAG had expressed so far. And I think the conclusion that was came out of that discussion that was the EFRAG position that had been expressed so far was supported and certainly including its unhappy side of it. And there was also a lot of discussion around the benefit.
Sorry, François, I didn't understand your first point.
Just what I said?
Yes.
Sorry for that. That's the way it was formulated.
Yes.
So the EFRAG past position continued to receive support, more particularly in its unhappy side. And there was also discussion around convergence, I mean, echoing in fact a certain number of comments that were also received in this forum. With the willingness to encourage the ISB before finalizing to look further into the FASB model.
Okay. Yukio.
Thank you. As I stated at the September ESAF meeting, we have a concern over the possible divergence of lessees accounting model between the ISB and the FASB. We continue to believe that the both boards should achieve the convergence of the lessees accounting model. Thus, we think that the both boards should take more time to discuss their lessees accounting models at the future joint board meeting. In addition, based on our outreach to our constituent, we feel it desirable if plural explanation about the FASB's model were provided in the future joint board meeting, so that they can fully understand the commonality and differences of those two models, both from the conceptual perspective and cost-benefit perspective. The further, we continue to believe that lessees ought not or may not control the use of leased items if service component for the use of list items are not separable. Thus, we basically agree with the direction of alternative A stated in the staff agenda paper for the October ISB board meeting. We think that in order to capture a proper population of transactions that are subject to requirement in release standard, we encourage the ISB to carefully consider when the customer does not in effect control the use of leased asset in relation to the associated services by analyzing specific examples identified by preparers.
Rebecca?
Well, I wanted just to support both Francois and Yukio in their view of trying to strongly encourage the boards to work together. We found previously when doing outreach where hasn't been much interest, we've called before kind of standards fatigue when it's been on talking about leases. But just recently when we were out in Western Canada, we were able to talk with some CFOs of the oil and gas companies. And that was one of the topics that, while they hadn't been necessarily following closely, was of concern to them. And that's what they were keen to talk about. In part, it was not just saying the operationality of the issue we were talking about, but also more broadly from the standards perspective. Because when they find, when they compare their practices in North America, they have many multiple small locations rather than one large drilling rig, for example. So the volume of leases, and that each one of those properties could have multiple, either for land or for rights and into equipment, it could be quite significant for the number that they will need to be managing. When we spoke to them about how, in essence, the expense would be reported, their initial reaction was of concern given the importance of their operational metrics and the non-GAAP information they provide, because they do pull out the depletion, depreciation, amortization information. So
what is this? What are you saying exactly? Well, what does this point to?
So likely when new standards come in, people will then adjust the information they give to, where they will give, how they explain, in essence, the results of their operations. What's key is for an industry, and this is our second top industry who operate in, or you know, raise capital in Canada and the United States, it's 11% of our capital market. This is an industry that maybe has not been as engaged but could have an impact on. And really understanding that implications and the operationality, I think, is key. So what might feel like a presentation difference could have more of an impact for many different industries, and this is one that we've been able to start reinvigorate those discussions.
What was the preference there? I mean, other than to say,
well, they weren't, Kev, it was our first discussion with them. It's something we're wanting to follow up because that's what we are interested in knowing.
I mean,
as well.
We haven't been ignorant of the oil and gas industry as we've gone ahead, so this is not a new topic for us, while it might be for you. You remember we're nearing the final stages of this standard now. So.
Mm-hmm. But maybe if I understand, if you mentioned depreciation, is it because they're then saying in their non-cap or their performance metrics, they are potentially, whichever way you call it, adding back depreciation, considering using, I hate to use non-GAAP metrics, but you know what? EBITDA or something to that effect is important for them. So they're saying that distinction in the income statement between what is depreciation or amortization or interest, in a sense, is important for their analysis.
It is.
So that would.
Are you saying it is or it is not? I heard you say it is not. What I heard you say was the accounting, and I'm biased because I like our model, but what I heard you say is they don't want an impact on the operations, which would mean they would probably would rather have the FASB model than the ISB's model. And that if you currently back out depreciation, amortization, and interest, you'd have to back it out under the ISB's model. Or did you not get that far? You're just at the point of what's most important is that they don't have a difference between the northern part of the Canadian border and the southern part of the Canadian border.
That was the theme I was trying to emphasize, just because of our initial discussions. And we know, for example, when standards come, they often may change, make those metrics changes. But when you are trying to do those comparisons, that really can affect a user's view of
that. Convergence is important.
That is the our
ultimate preference. Trying to provide statistics that just emphasize
but
that.
But what is important here is also your board has thus far always supported our model as being conceptually the stronger model. Are you now saying, well, we are willing to sacrifice that for convergence?
Sacrifice is a challenging word. So the point, no, but our, so first of all, as a role as an ASAF member, one is bringing our forward our board's view, which Hans, you are right, we have always been supportive of the ISB's approach. Our board hasn't rediscussed that. What I'm trying to raise is what we've been hearing as we try to go out and find more information, what people's views are. And one of the other more anecdotal comments we've heard is in trying to understand the two different approaches, figuring out which is operationally more complex isn't necessarily as clear. So maybe that is an area that we can work together on.
But we, you know, we are getting close to really final decisions, and you know, we really need to know where people stand. And I understand the call for convergence. I think it's fair to say we can only get converged on the American. On the American model, Russ.
I agree.
Been frank to each other, and I think this is the only way.
Yeah.
And those who call for convergence have to understand that's the only way the birds are going to fly. That's not an English expression. It's not even a Dutch expression. But you know what I'm saying. Those who feel that we have the conceptually stronger answer, which we feel ourselves, have to understand we go for convergence, as which is in itself also a very important factor and an important given, especially for companies operating in different jurisdictions. But there is a price to be paid. Sue?
Yeah, and I guess building on that, I understand convergence is important, and obviously it's important to the boards too, and so nobody voted sort of lightly when we came to different conclusions when the boards decided on the P&L decisions they've made to date. But our decisions were made based on reading over 600 comment letters, with meetings with over 200 investors, I think. It was based on a very careful analysis of what we thought our position was, and I think, certainly speaking from our side, based on very carefully considering the conceptual arguments, considering the needs of investors of financial statements. We felt that the model that we got to provided the best set of information for users of financial statements, including those in capital-intensive industries, and considering cost and complexity. And while I understand the desire for convergence, and obviously that would be the ideal, particularly on a standard which I don't think we should kid ourselves is ever going to be a popular standard. I'm not sure what to do with a call for convergence absent some new information that would suggest that there was something I was missing in the original analysis when I voted back in March or whenever it was. And even in the most recent consultations that EFRAG did in Europe, where I was really pleased that the question was actually asked, or where you encourage people to comment on the cost and complexity comparatively of applying the two different models. My recollection was that a majority of respondents felt that our model was less costly and complex to apply. And so I'm not sure what extra new information I have other than a general desire that convergence is a positive thing. It wouldn't cause me
Roger,
to think
Roger is going to tell us.
I wasn't going to answer that one. I was just going to echo Francois and UK's views that I think the two issues we are concerned about are definition and the lack of convergence.
Sorry, Rudy, you're saying you think the definition of a lease and the convergent questions are the two important ones.
Yeah.
Just be patient, that's why we play with our computer and things.
And Roger, your investors also tell you to go. Do they give preference for convergence over our model?
Well, we had a most recent discussion at the FRAG board where we do have a user representative on the board who basically was completely neutral on the topic. I mean, I think it depends which user you talk to, really. So I'm sure you've talked to a lot of users.
Well, EFRAG talked to a lot of users too, and I think they got another view of that discussion.
Yep. In the recent consultation, you had the investor feedback, and I thought the majority supported the ISB model.
Yeah, quite a significant majority of feedback.
My jurisdiction may be a little bit different because of the companies who used to be in US GAAP already in IFRS, so they, even the company that are listed in the US, so the call for convergence is not in terms of a trade-off between the current project. The major concern is about acceptance of the new standard over the jurisdiction that already apply IFRS, so that's people are concerned about. So the standard to be applied on all jurisdictions, we didn't want to have a two IFRS models in place.
That would be a nightmare because then we would have three models in the world.
Yeah.
Chris?
Just a question that in practice, and I understand on a single lease basis, then yes, the FASB model is going to come up with a very different outcome to what the ISB model is. If you've actually got a portfolio of leases, is there going to be substantially different outcomes in any case?
No. I had asked the staff to, well, Petrina worked with the staff, but there was a in typical recurring leases that all do not renew at the same time, the was it like 50 to 70 leases, it basically gave you the same net income result and the same balance sheet result. There are components that were impacted between the two.
Yeah, and I'll just expand on that, Baruch, which is right. So first of all, as staff, we internally kind of set up a bit of a portfolio in a sense. And what we try to do is expand on what we've done before. So in our effects analysis to the 2013 ED, we did include some analysis that starts from what you call a steady state. You know, so let's assume that a lessee has a constantly rolling over portfolio where leases are constantly ending and starting. And we did do quite a lot of testing around, you know, what if interest rates change, what if lease terms change, what if the amounts change. We also more recently, the FASB staff together with us, as I say, set up a kind of portfolio where we tried to vary that, set up sort of 30, 40 leases. Again, some differing lease terms because, you know, reality is that the leases that replace old leases aren't exactly the same. So we did that testing. We also had a software provider who provides software for the real estate industry, who actually used their software to model a portfolio of 50 real estate leases, you know, with obviously different optionality terms and conditions, and did testing, you know, for us on that. And we included, by the way, some commentary on that in the March board paper. And the outcome of all of that testing for us said, you really need to have quite extremes in the sense, or a very sort of lumpy lease portfolio to really have any significant effect at a net income level. That even, you know, when you have increasing or decreasing discount rates, changing lease terms, etc., as I say, it really needs to be very lumpy to create any real difference in net income. Then, of course, I think you mentioned there is potentially, of course, a difference, and an important difference, potentially between putting your entire lease expense, you know, in operating expenses versus having depreciation and interest separated. Even there, you need to look and you need to say that will, how big, and effectively the difference is the interest piece of that existing operating lease expense. How big might that be if you move it to interest? And even there, of course, it depends on lease terms and interest rates, and where that would become more. So if you have shorter term leases, lower interest rates, then even that won't be significant. However, if you have, you know, a significant portfolio of operating leases, there are longer term leases, higher discount rates, that will all impact to say that there, for certainly for some lessees, there might be a meaningful difference between, you know, the presentation in a sense.
Chris, I think most preparers, it was my former life, would probably agree generally on a rollover basis, at least at both the total expense level probably cancels out against current standards. I think the concern, there's a couple of concerns, but one that's not focused on a lot, it's tomorrow's brand new lease, that's going to front end stuff relative to probably the least that it's replacing. I mean, that's not an accounting issue per se, but it's an internal management issue. We're under pressure for cost down, and all of a sudden I sort of continue an old lease or replace the new lease, and it's only more expensive early on. And that's an it's not an accounting issue per se, but it's an internal management issue, which may in some instances, but probably not all that many, it's going to force a relook at the lease versus buy decision. You still need to acquire the use of an asset to do something, but the lease versus buy paradigm might shift slightly in some cases.
Martin?
I have to say I'm really still confused because some people thinking, okay, convergence is important, others not, and I think we have to come to a decision. And following that discussion today, I really don't know what is the ASAF position. Some people raised issues, others not. So for me as a board member, it is very difficult to say, okay, what is advice from different groups? And I have not followed this discussion, seeing, okay, what is recommendation from ASAF to the board. Should we try to converge on? Is it more important?
Yeah,
and
also on the definition. What I am really worried about, for example, Business Europe. Business Europe has now written us a letter. Please get conversion. Take the American model. 6 months ago, they in response to the second exposure draft, they wrote us a letter in which they said, well, this model with the even income statement. So let's say the FASB model now, that's total rubbish conceptually, and you should really not go there. And so and now they're telling us, please get converged with the FESB. And by the way, our members that have a preference for your model, they can go along with that. Well, suppose now with the next meeting we say, yeah, okay, we'll get converged with the United States. Then we'll get another wave of criticism. Well, this is conceptually such rubbish. How can you do that? That's what I'm worried about.
I was just going to say, my very first advisory council meeting, the advice was that the quality, the conceptual quality of the answer was more important than convergence. They give us that advice. It's very, very confusing.
Well, I've heard what EFRAG, Japan, and Canada say that convergence is the most important.
Well, Canada hasn't said yet. You gave some time. And by the way, let's not, we're not voting here, so.
Yeah. This point is important. I think it's hard to derive a one ASAF position.
Excuse me?
It's hard to derive one ASAF position in this team.
It's not as if 7 members here are in favor of something that we then should feel obliged to.
And I think also just to mention, Rebecca, I imagine for you as well is that your investor input is important as well, and I know we had the opportunity to speak to your user advisory council, and they, like RCMAC, gave us a pretty clear message that they preferred a single lessee model that would have interest and depreciation separated. So,
Dan Shao?
Yes, of course, I think everyone in the world would like to have one solution between ISB and FSB, because convergence is really important. But compared to two models, that's ISB model, that's a single model, and an FSB model, we support the ISB model. We think it's conceptually clear and better, and then it's easier to be implemented. Yeah.
Okay. Any more takers or givers? Thank you.